Ramadan days.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And welcome to Ramadan Dates. The month of Ramadan is a month where we individually get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also find that it's a month where the community congregates and gets together in the masajid and at iftars as well. And subhanAllah, we also find that it's a month where the family comes together. With us today to discuss the topic of the family in the month of Ramadan is Sheikh Bilal Dhannoun. Welcome, Sheikh.
Jazakumullahu khairan.
Sheikh, the family unit is such an important unit in our religion. And the month of Ramadan is a month that brings, you know, the family together. What's our responsibility towards our family in this month?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. What comes to mind first is an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who mandated the fasting of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses every believer and he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. He says, O you who have believed, he says, Qu anfusakum وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Protect yourselves and your family from a fire. He's talking about the hellfire here.
May Allah protect us.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So here straight away we have the instruction that we have a duty to protect not only ourselves. We protect ourselves first, but then we also have a duty to protect our family. Okay, from punishment.
SubhanAllah, this is like an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to look after ourselves and look after our families. But how does the believer in this day and age sort of strike the balance between his individual worship and the spirituality of his family?
Well, first of all, we have, you said, the individual. So we need to look after ourselves first. And you cannot pour out of an empty cup. So we need to ensure that we ourselves are having the correct faith, spiritual intelligence, if you like. There's a lot of talk about, IQ, having an IQ or
emotional intelligence, EI or EQ.
But what about our spiritual self? So we really need to, first of all, focus on ourselves and our iman and increasing that. And now Ramadan comes in that allows us to now discipline ourselves and to discipline our families. And we will see, for example, in the seerah, in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that, for example, especially towards the most important part of Ramadan, in the last 10 nights, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tighten his waist belt. He would get serious about the worship. And what else would he do?
He would wake up his family.
So he wasn't selfish. So Ramadan isn't about just you or me, me, me. It's about, hey, let's get our family members engaged and involved, okay, in this very spiritual and holy month.
In the modern day that we live, in this modern age that we live in this day and age, what are some advices that you may be able to give to families to engage, one another and each other so they can be productive spiritually in the month?
I think what we need to do is start off with the communication. There needs to be a plan, and I would say especially before Ramadan and leading into Ramadan, about what are the things that we are going to do this Ramadan to make it our best Ramadan.
As a family.
As a family unit. So we begin by, for example, talking about, hey, who's waking us up for suhoor? We delegate in the family. So it's collective. We delegate to maybe one of the children to set up their alarm clocks. We talk about the suhoor period. It's a barakah period. Yes. What are we going to do for suhoor? What healthy meals are we going to have at suhoor time? What are we going to do differently this Ramadan in terms of maybe our devices, our screen time, and how much of that are we going to replace with people time? So replacing a lot of the screen time with people time within our family. So it's really important for them to be communication about presence within the family, that the father is present, that the mother is present. And we know that this is very, very important in Ramadan.
And I'm sure when you say present, it's not only physically, it's also mentally and sort of being completely immersed with the family as well.
Yes, there are benefits of both, by the way. So there are benefits of being, immersed and, you know, present in all of yourself, in your thoughts, in your words, in your communication. But even your physical presence means a lot to children, and it gives them a lot of security and safety. I know, for example, my young son would say to, my wife, when's Baba coming home, right? When's Dad coming home?
Yes.
And then basically I'd come home, but he doesn't really even say much to me and do much with me. He's still caught up with his maybe device or whatever it is he's doing, but he's just happy to know that I'm there. He feels that security. But now if we can add to that the communication, and we add to that, the motivation to, hey, let's read Quran, let's understand Quran, let's do these things together as a family. That's really important. So especially when it comes time to the, for example, the iftar time. At the iftar time, when it comes to breaking our fast, we know that there is something that's recommended at this time, which is
dua.
So now is a time for dua. Right? So why don't we actually ask one another in the family, hey, what dua are you making? What dua are you making? Maybe the dua, just learning about, and then, hey, I want to make dua for the things that you're making. Would you make some dua for me as well?
SubhanAllah. So it's definitely, speaking of making dua for one another, this is a great thing that can be done. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that if you make dua for your brother, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will appoint an angel to make dua for you, the same dua for you as well. So there's definitely a lot of benefit in doing that, inshallah. Sheikh, we'll go to a break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking more about children in the month of Ramadan.
Ramadan days. Ramadan is a time for giving generously to those less fortunate. Your generosity will help distribute food packs to over 20,000 families. You can feed a family of five for the whole month of Ramadan for just $50. With a 100% donation policy and no admin fees, donate this Ramadan to maximize your rewards at sadaqah.org.au. Ramadan Day.
Welcome back to Ramadan Dates. Sheikh, children, as you said earlier in the episode, they're a responsibility on all of us. What are some of the things that can be done with children in the month of Ramadan so that we can encourage them, encourage their spirituality?
Of course, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati." Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the analogy that we are all shepherds responsible for our herd or our flock. So we have a duty of care, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed us to direct our children, to guide our children to what is best for their worldly life and what is best for their hereafter. So here in the month of Ramadan, we need to be encouraging them, number one, to fast, especially if they are of an age of maturity. The companions would encourage their children at a very tender age to be fasting. And if they became somewhat unsettled,
yes.
Okay, what would they do?
Just break your fast.
That would either, get them to break their fast or give them a toy, yes. Actually just to
distract them.
To occupy mm-hmm. them. So we should be encouraging them into getting into fasting and talking to them about the benefits of fasting. And we know that the benefits of fasting are amazing. I mean, we all know that the objective of fasting, and this is something that we need to instill in our children, that the objective of fasting, as we know, is taqwa, right? To gain that piety, to gain that God consciousness. And subhanAllah, by fasting is about discipline, really. I mean, the ultimate goal is to be a disciplined Muslim, to be disciplined by virtue of taqwa. Right? So, introducing to the children this concept of taqwa, and that you need to now in Ramadan be more alert, and you need to be more aware of your actions and what you are saying. Ramadan, my dear son or my dear daughter, is not just about refraining from food and drink, but it's about refraining from bad behavior. You need to be aware of your emotions. You need to be aware of your interactions with the people. You need to understand, my dear son, my dear daughter, that Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So we are going to be reciting more Quran. Ramadan is a month of correcting things that need to be corrected. Mm-hmm. So subhanAllah, interestingly, that we know, for example, when it comes to Salah, there are some serious statistics out there that show that about maybe 30-40% of the Muslim Ummah pray five times a day. That's about one in three, one in four Muslims who pray. Interestingly, the statistics reveal that about 80-90% of the Muslim Ummah fast. So Ramadan is about that, you know, there is that awareness. And so in Ramadan, people are more inclined to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So given that they are in this environment, why don't we turn this environment into correcting the things that need to be corrected whilst the hearts are very tender and there is this alertness and this consciousness?
SubhanAllah, it is also, you find that the children are normally excited about the month of Ramadan. There's a natural sense of excitement that they have. So it is a great opportunity to sort of use that time where the hearts are soft to actually rectify behavior and character as well.
And introduce to them the concept of sadaqah in Ramadan. We know our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very generous. He was as generous as a strong wind that passes by, that touches everybody. Mm-hmm. So we introduce to them, hey, there are poor people, there are needy people. We have food, we have shelter, we have drink. We have maybe short hours of fasting. There are people, who are doing it a lot tougher than we are doing it. So really making them understand the reality of what's really happening around them, inshallah. That's really, really important to be really making that connection with the children, and especially for fathers, especially because the mother is already caught up with a lot of things, whether she's preparing the iftar meals, whether she's attending to young children. So the father has a major role in the household. And so subhanAllah, one statistic that I came across is that with the absence of the father, that there is a five times more risk, probability of children becoming or entering into poverty if he's not involved in their family's life. There's a three time likelihood that they'll fail in school, not do very well. There's a two times likelihood that it will impact their emotional and behavioral issues, resorting to illicit things and crime and things like that. So why don't we as parents this Ramadan show a lot of love, show a lot of care and compassion, make dua for them instead of cursing them, as we maybe have been doing, may Allah forgive us, throughout the other 11 months. Why don't we make dua for them? There is a mother, every time one of her children does something wrong, she says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you from amongst those who memorize the Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
Like every time they do something wrong,
Allahu
right?
Akbar.
And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with five children. All of them ended up memorizing the Quran.
SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered her dua.
Absolutely.
And she was quite clever in trying to use the opportunity where the kids maybe are running amok, as they say, or misbehaving. She wasn't she used her Islamic principles to actually use that opportunity to make proper dua for them, subhanAllah.
Making dua for our children in Ramadan to become outstanding Muslims. So there are three contributors that will make these children remarkable.
What are they?
Number one is their environment.
Okay.
Okay, and environment is a host of things. Mm-hmm. Be it the family environment, be it the school, be it the community, be it the masjid. All of these are contributors. So the environment. Mm-hmm. Number two is their influences. Tell me who your friends are, and
I'll tell you who you are.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So their influences. Who are they spending time with? Who are their friends? Mm-hmm. Okay, that shapes their identity. And thirdly, the experiences that they're going through in life, are they positive ones? Are they ones that really nurture their iman and their identity as a Muslim? These are three areas that we really need to stay focused on. Environment, influences, experiences. You know, send them to the masjid, send them to teachers, send them to amazing people that will help them shape their identities.
We often find that the women in our household, our mothers, our wives, our sisters, they become quite overburdened in the month of Ramadan, preparing for the iftars, probably inviting family over. And they don't get much time, you know, in terms of their spirituality, to do their adhkar, to do their Quran, to do the taraweeh that they may want to be doing. What's your advice for the family unit in terms of planning for this?
Well, you said the word planning, and as the old adage goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So I think there needs to be that coordination and that planning before Ramadan, between the husband and between the wife, and maybe also between the older children within the family, and about delegation, so that everybody has that opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not, once again, not being selfish. No family member should be selfish in Ramadan, but should be considerate, should be selfless. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear when he said, you know, none of you are true believers until you love for your brother, for others, what you love for yourself. So here, when it comes to the wife, one of the biggest challenges that we often hear and read about is that the wife is overburdened with the cooking, you know. And subhanAllah, Ramadan was never ever meant to be about food and having these big feasts.
That's right.
And it's
the month of fast, not the month of the feast. The feast comes after Ramadan, subhanAllah.
Absolutely. I love that. The month of fast, not the month of feast. And I think this is where we need to be, you know, very, very careful and really ensure that maybe that the wife should really have that conversation with the husband, of course, with the spice of love, inshallah, and just really talking about, you know, how, look, if I'm worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put more barakah in your wealth, my dear husband. You know, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless our household more. You know, yes, there's your dua, but there's also my dua. And so again, let's go back to basics. What did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say when it comes to filling the stomach? He said a third for the food and a third for the drink and a third, you know, for the air. Right? Where is that?
Yeah, you know, now we want to fill the whole thing with food and then try and find space for the water and space for the air.
And the sweets and what comes with it. Look, I think, you know, maybe just, you know, again, going back to that communication, that compromise, setting those boundaries, inshallah ta'ala. And what we do say to the sisters who cannot win over those demanding husbands, okay? Let's say that is the case, right? We say to her, take advantage of that time by listening to Quran while you're cooking, by listening to the lectures. I know personally, sometimes I might be caught up doing something at home. There are many beautiful radio stations, YouTube stations. You can listen to lectures, make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here, when we look at the page of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, those three verses, the fundamental verses about fasting, from verse 183 to verse 186, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions? He mentions taqwa, he mentions Qur'an, he mentions dhikr, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ dhikr, he mentions dua. He mentions all of those things. So it's not just the fasting. It's all of those things that a woman can also do, prioritize, inshallah, and maybe take advantage of those times, the morning time where the barakah is. She might not be able to get away with much in the day because of the demanding husband or the demanding children, but she prioritizes and she takes advantage of the barakah time, which is the morning time.
And there is no doubt that any effort that the mother or the wife puts in for the family, preparation for the family, is in itself an act of worship that she'll be rewarded for, inshallah. And I think sometimes the advice that I normally give is for the husbands to sort of reduce expectation. Instead of having these expectations of multiple varieties on the table, if you reduce the expectations, then that would allow the wife to actually have a little bit more time.
Rightly said. And that those expectations, we have to understand something. Where are they coming from? They're coming from familiarity. They're coming from what they're familiar with, from how they grew up. And I think what we need to do this Ramadan, inshallah, is make a lot of the unfamiliar, make a lot of the familiar unfamiliar, and make a lot of the unfamiliar familiar.
Yes.
So those negative things, let's make them unfamiliar. They're not really doing us much good. And those things that we should be doing, let's make them familiar.
I want to touch on the mosque, the masajid, for the family. I mean, it's often you find the families go out for the salat of Taraweeh and Isha. It's quite a regular practice that people do. How does one balance between, for example, children that are unsettled, taken to the masjid, praying at home? What's your advice in this regard for the family?
With regards to the masajid, of course, the masajid are the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's the best place for families to pray their prayers. But this is not practical for everybody, okay? So in this case, we understand that Taraweeh, for example, the night prayers, are not limited to the masajid. They're not limited to the masajid. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to the Taraweeh themselves, he only did three nights, but then later he out of fear that they would become compulsory. Later on, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wa arda, he reintroduced the Taraweeh prayer in jama'ah in the masajid. Okay?
Yes.
Now, But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi," that whoever stands up in night prayers in Ramadan. Now, it's not limited to the masjid.
No doubt, the masjid has a great reward, and if you are able to, that's the best place for you to be.
And you're not going to get a greater high and pump than you're going to get in the masjid. But therefore, we should, if we cannot make it to the masjid, we should have a regular, you know, qiyam prayer at home. And even if the husband does go out to the masjid and he feels like his family didn't get that opportunity, he can come back and lead the prayer and be that man and be the imam of his home.
Beautiful advice. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Bilal Dhanoon. It's been wonderful speaking to you about the importance of family and some great words of advice. And I thank you for watching Ramadan Dates. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ramadan Dates.